Blog Talk Radio.
Robert Gatewood.
Leon Gatewood.
Joseph Gatewood.
What's up, Leon? What's up, Robert?
What's up, Joseph?
How your brothers doing, man?
We for real,
great,
man. For
man.
Real.
Great.
Hey, man. I was just talking to somebody that was asked somebody about voting, and I said, well, you know, why do you suspect the voter turnout was so low? This particular person said, well, look, man, we're tired of it. We're tired of voting. We're tired of it.
That wasn't me, was it?
No, it wasn't you, miss.
Oh, okay.
It's time.
Well,
man,
wore us
out, man.
That's a way out,
though. It's a way out, man. I'm not trying to make an excuse for anybody, because I really wanted to talk some junk.
I thought you were talking about me there for a minute. I might not be no help tonight. I'm tired.
You know, they I don't know whether it's by design that they're wearing people out with this foolishness. And turn on the news every Friday all day long. They're talking about it. Then you sit there like all night long and see which fool's going to win. Or see if the fool is going to win in the bunch. The real fool. I mean, it's just... Jeez Louise.
You may be on to something there, Leon.
I don't, man. I mean, I'm in it. Mind you.
Wearing you down.
Hey.
I think that's part of it.
Joseph.
Hey. Yeah, what's up, Leon?
I understand you're on the way out of town, but look, what you think, Joseph? I mean, we're going to talk a little more in business.
Well, I want to talk about what I think about what?
Have you talked to anybody and asked them about voting, why they didn't vote, why they did vote?
Somebody in Virginia?
No, I'm talking about in Shaw.
Oh, well, people vote. We had an election in Shaw.
There you go.
Talk about something.
I mean,
you know the pad, too?
I didn't know nobody was voting in Shaw, really.
Maybe y'all didn't have any issues, Shaw. I haven't heard anything about Shaw.
They didn't have elections everywhere yesterday. It wasn't everywhere.
No.
But I didn't vote yesterday.
No. It wasn't everywhere, but wherever it was, the places it was.
Only election I knew about was in Virginia.
That's the hype. People are tired of the hype.
I didn't know there was, and to me, I think what people need to do, really, I just keep going back to what I've been saying for years and nobody seemed to listen, but the only people we can depend on is each other.
Wow.
I mean, because.
We all we got, bro. Friend of mine, Mike, we always got.
I did an assessment, for many years. The biggest problems and the biggest issues black people have ever had in this country has been with the government. And it hadn't mattered who was in power, Democrats or Republicans. We've always had the same issue to deal with.
So, don't like it, no, Robert.
Sound like what I said earlier, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It sounds like you're in jail with this topic, too.
No, we didn't put our notes together.
No.
We got eyes and ears. We just got eyes and ears. That's all.
That's right. We got our fingers on the pulse of the community. You know, real life issues.
Like
right now, I'm in one of the bigger fights of my life. It's the city of Charlotte.
About the zoning.
Yeah, about the zoning issue and the And the irony of it all is that we have a Charlotte, the Democrats are in control in Charlotte.
Hmm?
And we see her dealing with the same kind of foolishness.
I got a Democratic councilman,
got a Democratic mayor, but that doesn't seem to make a bit of difference at all.
Well, that tells you the story. It's not an issue of rate of affiliation, party affiliation. It's more an issue of racism and things of that nature. Because a person is a Democrat doesn't necessarily mean they're not a racist.
That's right.
Clearly that means he's a good guy. You know what I mean?
When I went to their hearing, they had two Negroes that were in charge of the whole thing.
Negroes?
They had a Negro.
Joe's going hard to the board, ain't
So what?
I mean, Joe's going hard to the board.
You know, right in the paint.
they had two Negroes in charge. And only thing those Negroes had to do was do their jobs and just be fair. That's all right. They had to do.
Right.
That's all they had to do.
Right.
But they could not do that. The only thing they had to do was do their job and be fair. Simple. And they could not do that.
And why do you think they couldn't do that? Why do you think?
Because the reason I just said it, they were just Negroes.
Wait a minute. I know some fair Negroes. Hold up. I know some fair Negroes.
These Negroes were handpicked. And they just did not have it within them to do the right thing.
I think Joseph is, by his classification of them as Negroes versus blacks or African American, he is assigning a nomenclature, denoting a certain attitude or lack of fairness by his assignment of their name. So I don't think he's speaking in general terms when he says Negroes. He's not speaking to about the black race. Am I overstating?
Because there is a difference between a Negro and a black person.
No, that's Curtis Negro. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Robert Kelly had to jump in on that one.
You ain't lying. There is a difference between a Negro and... See, a Negro is man-made. The white man made the Negro. I mean, he designed, he made him after his own image. He made the Negro. But the black person is made by God.
Uh-oh. There you go. There you go. Thank you, Rev. Thank you, Rev.
Rev brought it home.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up for me, Rev.
We're trying to help you out here, Joe. We're trying to help with brothers. Well, okay.
So there's not such a thing in that context. There's not such a thing as a fair Negro. If he's a Negro, he's not fair automatically by the fact that he's a Negro. He's not fair.
I agree.
He's been designed.
You straight now, Leon? You straight?
Yeah, I think I understand. He's been created for a certain purpose.
Exactly. Exactly.
See, the thing about it. In the bang, I didn't want the Negroes to give me any special privileges. I didn't want any special consideration from the Negroes.
See? Right.
Only thing I wanted the Negroes to do was to do their job and be fair.
Right.
Negroes everywhere. There's Negroes in every profession, in every organization, in every church, in every part of the workforce. There are Negroes, and Negroes would not do the right thing, no matter, even when the right thing might work in their interest, they would not do the right thing.
They can't do it.
Joseph, how soon in the process did you realize they were Negroes?
Pardon me?
How soon in the process did you realize they were Negro?
I was in the process, I would say, maybe 3 minutes.
You knew you were stuck. Okay.
Once I came to that realization, I was actually ready to go, but I knew I had to go through the process, you know, in order to take it to the next level. But those Negroes were just there to they were supposed to be neutral. And if they would have just been neutral, like, even if they didn't know their job, even if they were just incompetent, if they would have just been neutral, they'd have been okay.
Right.
But that was not a Negro. A Negro is not going to be neutral. You know that. A Negro would not be neutral. A Negro goes out of the way to harm, to bring harm and confusion, because the Negro has been trained that way ever since. You know, they did the thing with, I hate had to go all the way back to, you know, how they trained us during slavery and bringing on back up to here. There were some Negroes took the training very well. Some rebelled. Some preferred being Negroes because they were scared. And so sometimes the Negro mind will go so far out of the way to harm you to prove that they are Negroes and to prove that they have favor over white people. They would do more damage sometimes than the racists themselves.
That's right. And a good example of that is Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
Now he goes out of his way. He goes out of his way.
Exactly right. That's a good example.
He's a perfect, textbook example of a Negro.
Of a Negro. Yeah. A Negro man.
That was... Just like you say, Curtis, God created man, and of course he created the black man, but
right.
The white man created the Negro.
Absolutely. That's what people need to understand. And, you know, Daddy used to tell us about Negrology. You know, we need to, because like he was saying, you know, you can go in a church all you want to talk about theology, but if you don't have some Negrology, you're going to be torn to pieces. You got to be able to defend yourself from Negroology.
That's right. And Negroes know who they are, and they are proud of it.
Wow.
Yeah. They know who they are. You know, I've had to deal with some Negroes. And look, like I said, it's like you said, though. All they have to do is just be fair. They don't have to
do anything. That's all they have to do.
See, white people, racists give racist privileges. Racists would give a white man a job like Donald Trump, a no-good, low-down, dirty dog racist. They're giving him a job as the president of the most powerful position in the world. You can be qualified, overly qualified, and if a Negro has something to do with it, you will not get the job. And if he does give you the job, he's going to tear you down as soon as you get the job.
Good googly moogly.
Right.
Hey, man. You brother.
I mean, you got to talk about the Negro. The Negro mind is dangerous, man. We got to talk about the Negro mind.
Well,
that's right.
Okay.
That's something we have to deal with, and I experienced it firsthand.
Yeah.
And I experienced it firsthand on Tuesday. So those Negroes, in combination with the white people, they made me feel like I was Dred Scott.
Joseph, now you have to give us a history lesson on Dred Scott, right quick.
Well, I'm going to tell you about Dred Scott. The Dred Scott decision, you know, a white man took Dred Scott into a free territory, Missouri. And that was in 1857. And so some of the abolitionists got together and said since Dred Scott was in a free state, he was no longer a slave. And so they went to the Supreme Court. The case made it all the way to the Supreme Court. 1857, and the Supreme Court decided that Dred Scott did not have any rights because he was a slave and he was no more than property himself. That was what the Supreme Court decided in 1857.
Yep. Yeah, he had no rights that a white man had to honor.
He had no rights, and he had no business even in the court talking about any rights. He didn't have any rights. He was just a piece of property himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the way I felt on Tuesday. But when I was confronted by two Negroes, and I think how many white people? Two Negroes, two Negroes and six white people.
Mm. Wow.
And the Negroes were in charge. And they purposely put the Negroes in charge.
And they didn't figure that out, did they?
Who didn't figure it out?
The Negroes. They did not figure out that's why they were in charge.
I'm sure those Negroes knew that because they played the role so well. Those Negroes, because, see, I went in with the understanding that they had one job, but it turned out that their job was not consistent with my thinking and my understanding of the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
They had a different job. The job that they had was not on paper.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Brother Faria Radio Show. The guest call-in number is 215-383-3872. Call in and talk to us because we're getting ready to talk about something else. That's to say, you know, let's just say this. It's going to be very difficult for us to get anything done unless we address what we're talking about right now. We can get everybody to vote, but if you're voting off base or not paying attention to what you're voting for, that's not going to work. But anyway, we're going to be talking about voting tonight for the most part. But we've just had a very lively discussion on what we call the Negro. And like Curtis said, God created the black man, and we happen to believe the Negro was created by somebody else.
The white man. Yep.
The white man.
Black folk can't create nothing like that. I mean, that's just the white man. In all
you
of his
what?
Work, all of his separation, all of his power, all of his media, all of his resources, that took a whole lot of stuff. Really. Really. Everything is working to get the Negro mind the way it is. It wasn't just the one thing or one day. That was a process. And they, you know, you had people rebelling to the point when they first got here, where they were willing to die, they were willing to fight. But after a while, when they start separating Negroes and separating them from their families and separating those who could speak the same language and separating those who loved one another and start putting different tribes together, I mean, tribes that did not work together, you know, it took a lot to do this. And then start putting the media factor in there to keep Negroes thinking that they were less than, that they were nothing, and that the white man was, you know, they used the Bible. They used a fake Bible. They tore out all the pages that dealt with Moses and freedom and all that and gave the Negroes the Bible that said, be dedicated to your master and all that. So it took a lot.
Mm. Mm. Working
but, you know,
me,
a Negro like Clarence Thomas, though,
mm-hmm.
I believe they actually created him in a test tube. I've often referred to him as a test tube Negro.
No, but
well, they have a few robo Negroes too. So I'm acting like police officers that would beat your butt just as bad. They have some robo Negroes.
Yeah.
I had a Negro
when I was in Durham. They went upstairs and got a Negro for me. And the Negro didn't know anything about what was going on.
Mm.
And the white man went up there and got the Negro, had on a police suit, so I figured he must have been a police, and came down there and told that Negro, said, we got one down here with a smart mouth. Negro hadn't heard me say nothing because I was quiet when he got there.
Yeah.
And, And so the next thing I know, the Negro was jumping all over me. I say, oh, you bad, huh? You bad, huh? So come on. You bad. Hit me. That's what the Negro was doing.
Yeah.
And I just turned and looked at the Negro.
Escalate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Negro did not ask me any questions or anything.
Yeah.
They over there brought him down and got him like you, and they had him in a cage or something and brought him downstairs.
That's the robo Negro, I tell you. Yeah. That's the robo Negro. Yeah.
Stick him.
We're going to, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Brother For Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Please join us tonight. As you can see, we are very real tonight. Anyway, guys, we just had municipal elections across the state of North Carolina and possibly some other states. I don't know. But anyway, we had we had very low turnout, in my opinion. I'll be honest with you. No, I'm not going to be honest right now. But anyway, what I want to know is, my question is, Does not voting really mean you don't care? Curtis, I read an op-ed on Facebook about voting and why it's important for the blacks or the African Americans to get involved in this process. Now, I'm speaking to people. I've been speaking to people, you know. It's one of my jobs to make sure to vote, you know, to increase voter turnout. It's very difficult, to be honest with you. It's very difficult. People have all kinds of excuses not to vote. They have all kinds of reasons not to vote. I heard from a couple of people that they had voter burnout. I mean, the election process is burning them out. They just...
Leon.
Yes, sir.
Let me take that for a minute, because I just want to say something to kind of help black folk. I'm not talking to Negroes right now. I'm talking to black folk and how urgent it is that we do get involved in the process, because of the fact that we are being murdered by pinpoint as well as gunpoint. Pinpoint, P-E-N, as writing pen, means that we are being murdered massively by the pen of legislation, where there are racist legislators that are doing more damage than sometimes the gun that we're looking at that's right in our faces. I give examples of that when I go back. I don't even have to go all the way back before, the time of Dr. King and Mega Everett and all that. I don't even have to go back that far. I can go back to 2013 when we had the governorship of Pat McCrory. And we had a legislature that was a majority of extremists, racist extremists. And the first thing they did, they denied a 500,000 people Medicaid expansion. And see, people need to understand what that meant at that time. This was 2013. You had a black president who had successfully passed what we know as the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Rather than allow this black man to be successful in carrying forward that legislative success, could have helped to save so many people, poor whites as well as blacks. Let's be clear, poor whites as well as blacks. These racist legislators were willing to kill off or at least deny a 500,000 North Carolinians Medicaid expansion. They did what Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King referred to as their lips were dripping with interposition and nullification. What had been passed at the federal level didn't mean a thing to racists in the South. So what they did with their state power is they denied the Medicaid expansion, even though it would not have cost the state one penny. They had the money. They had the resources. So I'm just saying the vote would have made a difference if they would have had a different makeup of the General Assembly. Now, if they would have had a different mayor, I mean a governor. A governor could have vetoed it. But they had the right racist governor and the majority of racist legislators type of damage that can be done. And they did it several they took several bills like that, whether it was denying 170,000 people unemployment benefits, whether it was undoing the earned income tax credit for 920,000 ultra-leaning. They went right across the board doing everything that could hurt or kill a majority of black people. And people can act like voting doesn't matter, but I can assure you it does.
Amen. Let me say this, Curtis. So the point you're making is, and the point that we try to make is, the most important vote is that hometown vote, that vote in your
city. Well, you know, all of them.
North Carolina
don't want Trump either, but see, we've been underestimating different parts or different votes when every vote matters. Whether you're voting for a racist president or trying to block the election of a racist president, because if you allow a racist president to be elected, the amount of influence that person has and the power over the military, and as you saw with Donald Trump, there's just so many things they can do to work their way around some of the laws and work their way around Congress. And so every election, whether it's home or abroad, whether it's the mayor, whether it's the governor, whether it's the judge, whether it's the district attorney, Leon, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
The district attorney, for example, that person has power determine, who's going to be in jail. They can determine who they're going to go after. They can determine. They can definitely help to pack up the prisons. Everybody keeps talking about the mass incarceration. Look at who your district attorney is. That is an elected position. There's just so many positions of power. People talking about police misconduct. Well, we just had an election where we elected the mayor and city council members. Those people are going to have a lot to do with who's going to be the police chief. And if the police stepped out of line, they have the power to address it. But if you don't elect the mayor or city council or people who can actually address these issues, then, you know, you're just spinning your wheels in the mud. You're just being reactive. You're putting the devil and the murderers around the table, giving them the pen to sign. And then we have to go out there and march after the damage has been done. So we have to be proactive at all. In other words, we can't wait until somebody is murdered and we just march. I don't mind marching. Everybody knows I don't mind marching. I will march because I understand that it presents somewhat of a demonstration of frustration, a demonstration of unsatisfaction, a demonstration of a problem or an issue that needs to be dramatized. But the fact of the matter is, that alone is not going to get it. We have to be working 24/7 on matters between the shooting, between the killing, between the blatant and conspicuous forms of racism, by making sure we're voting, by making sure we're participating in every imaginable level of contributing power that we have, more so than we act like we know about. We can never underestimate our power. We can never underestimate our vote. And if people didn't care or if it didn't mean anything, we would not have had so many black people murdered because they wanted to vote.
This is why I want to go with this, Curtis. How can we, what do you have in your head? I'm thinking every day. What do you have in your head that can convince people that they must vote? I mean, why are not you guys voting? What is up?
Leon, I think one thing we need to do more outreach. And when I say outreach, not just necessarily you, because you're working really hard down at the Holler Center. And I know my brothers who are on the radio, they're doing different things in different ways. But there has to be some type of meeting with people who have access to audiences. Access to audiences can come by way of church, by way of being at the club, by way of parties, by way of family reunions, homecomings, whoever have access to these audiences are going to have to do more in promoting the vote and the necessity of voting. If they don't allow for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, somebody needs to get there and tell people about the necessity when it pertains to voting. If they would come to church and just sit up there and give money and not see anything happen, I'm pretty sure somebody could convince them to go out and vote. But, you know, we're not taking advantage of the people. We're not taking advantage of the crowds and the ears. And so people will do whatever you tell them to do, unfortunately. That's why we have the confusion. That's why we had the Negro conversation earlier, because the people with the power had access to the media. They had access to the crowd. And so black folk need to get together. Every crowd that we have, that people will naturally come together. We can't keep trying to have rallies and nobody shows up. But there are people who have crowds automatically. We need to meet with club owners. We need to meet with people who actually have crowds on a regular basis. And we need to make a deal. Look, there needs to be some time to talk about the need to vote. You know, you know, we let them dance, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours or whatever. But give somebody 5 minutes to mention the need to vote and why.
One of the people, Curtis, one of the people that I admire very much, Mr. Neely Fuller, mm-hmm. He said that black folks should do nothing that doesn't have a constructive result.
Right.
We should not be partying. We don't have anything to party about. Everything we do should have a constructive result.
Leon,
you have a crowd of people in a group. That should be some kind of constructive result planned. Anytime you draw a group of people together, yes, sir.
You are so right. See, the thing about it is what you and I, we are doing, a lot of times we're working hard trying to bring people together for the purpose of educating, for the purpose of getting that information out. We have people who already have crowds together who abuse those crowds. They do nothing with those crowds. They just do partying. They do foolishness. They do craziness. Even if you have like a comedian speaking, even if you have like a concert, whether it's a gospel concert, whether it's a rock concert, there should always be, if there's a black person in charge or if there's a black person who has any influence, there should be someone who are part of that planning to say we need to allocate 10 minutes maybe, might not need that much, 5 minutes, every time they have a concert where black folk are gathered. There should be some, because, you know, I used to attend these things, like, you know, I'm a Ken spiritual fan, you know, and I used to attend some of those concerts, some of those gospel concerts, right? And I used to tell those people, I was like, y'all have all these people in here? Y'all have somebody up to say something about what's going on in the community, or somebody to say something about what needs to be done about voting. Somebody ought to say something. But all these people come together, shout, dance, whatever, and then they go back home. So we don't really have, Leon, the type of consciousness of people who have access to people and power. And you often talk about using your power. Whenever you have folk coming together, like I said, whether it's a club, whether it's a concert, whether it's a gospel concert, whether it's a church, that's power that we are not using.
Exactly right. And ladies and gentlemen, again, you listen to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. We hope you'll call and talk to us. Just a little bit. Come on and give us some, let us know what you're thinking. We know you got a lot of thoughts on your head, but we love talking to ourselves, but we really love it when you call in to talk to us. Like I said, the number to call is 215-383-3872. Curtis, we're going to take a quick music break, man, and we'll be right back. All right.
All right. No problem. No problem.
All right, brothers, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. We are here discussing voting, the importance of voting. And I'm sure you've all heard it before. If you don't vote, don't complain. If you don't vote, don't complain. I know that just sounds cliche. But if you don't vote, don't complain. And I got this question that I'm really serious about. If you don't vote, does that mean you don't care? How can you possibly not care? I mean, whether you care or not, if you don't vote, you may as well not care. Let me put it that way. You just may well not
care. I think voting, GOTV operatives, whether it be Black Voters Matter, Democracy in North Carolina, NAACP, whomever might be some of the major people who are pushing voting, there probably should be a meeting of those heads to make sure we are putting the right message out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I say that, you know, sometimes, you know, generations change. Generations are not necessarily connected to the last generation. I know for a long time people were saying, well, you know, people died for the right to vote. You know, there are some people who are not, you know, a lot of people are what's in it for me, you know, that type of thing. And so I think that the language when it comes to motivating people to do something, it has to be very closely related to what they like. And it's not necessarily based on what their ancestors did, even though that should matter. It will matter to those of us who are conscious. But for the one thing that I've experienced is a lot of times people do not care, I'm not going to necessarily say they don't care, but it's a level of consciousness that they seem to be missing. But if you make it personal, you usually have a better chance of getting a more favorable result. And I think what I'm saying that to say, I think we need to do more relating voting to the issues that we are addressing today. You know, sometimes the people thinking about voting was about making sure we were integrated and that type of thing. You know, people are not concerned about that. But if you're making sure that voting might have something to do with whether you're going to be shot down in the streets, or if you're going to have a racist police officer come and murder you, or if you're going to have a sheriff that's going to come and murder you.
I'm doing just wonderful, thank you. How are you doing?
We're still there, Curtis.
Huh?
We're still with you.
Okay, so I'm just saying I think we have to get together with our language for this generation to ensure, because you see how people are willing to mobilize. They care. When you see people marching and moving by the masses that we've seen across this country, when you look at what happened with George Floyd or Breonna Taylor, there is a care out here. How we tap into that care, how we tap into that consciousness and that willingness to stand and protest and go against police, even if they have fire ready to shoot, ready to send tear gas, ready to, you know, there is something out here. And I just think all of the voter get out the vote GOTV folk, we probably need to come together and look at the language, because see the way some of the people feel, I can tell you that some of these people feel like they're electing Negroes and white people who do not care. And so they think that it's a waste of their time to vote. So they care, but there has not been the connection that I think we need to make, not only with the voters, but the people that they are voting for. Because, see, if they vote, let's just say they stand. See, a lot of times people didn't understand what happened with the Barack Obama vote. They were all excited. They went out and they voted, and they voted for the hope, and they voted for the change. And they felt like they didn't get anything out of it. But what people have to understand, that's why I said that education is necessary, and it can't just be done in one conversation. It has to be a constant, you know, something hitting this vote thing almost every day or at least weekly, and letting people know how we can make a change through the voting. And but because what we have to understand, so that people don't get themselves up, their hopes up to be let down. When you get people's hopes up and then you let them down, it's kind of hard to get them back sometimes. So what people need to understand about the Barack Obama vote, for example, your vote was not wasted when you voted for Barack Obama. But Barack Obama can't do it alone. See, that's what people need to understand. And there are such things as obstructionists, racist haters who are willing to elect their people to make sure when you elect a Barack Obama that they do not do what the people sent them there to do, because they use obstructionist tactics to stop them. You have not heard of a Tea Party since Barack Obama, because these racist Tea Partiers, their job was to stop, suppress, neutralize the success of the first black president. We have to understand that. That way you will not be angry at the victim, but you would direct your anger at the villain. They would look at Barack Obama and say, well, Barack Obama didn't do anything, so I'm not voting. No, it wasn't that Barack Obama didn't do anything, but racism didn't stop because you elected Barack Obama. That means you had to also elect your senators. You also had to elect your congresswomen and congressmen. You also had to elect the other people that would surround the president and help to make sure his agenda would get through. But people need to understand that. If they don't, then they would think, well, nobody's doing anything for us, so I'm not voting. I'm going to have to fight my way out. I'm going to shoot my way out. Nobody cares about us. So they care, but there is something that we must do to further educate, Leon.
Exactly. Here's some sobering stuff here, man. Here's very sobering information here. I'm not proud of it. I just want to say it publicly because it needs to be addressed. You're looking at 5,259 registered voters in Anson County.
Mm-hmm.
5,259. Okay. You're looking at only, throughout the county, only 751 people voted. That's a 14% voting percentage. Mm. Now, if you're trying to tell me if we can be convinced that only 14% of the people that live in Anson County actually give a flip what happens, that's pretty sad.
What were y'all voting on?
This was the municipal elections, like mayor, not necessarily, not mayor in every town, but some towns voted for mayor, but almost all of them voted for town council people.
Mm-hmm.
Like Waynesboro Town Council, Morven Town Council. That's pretty
dismal.
Apathetic. Yeah, that's pretty dismal. So yeah. We have a lot of work to do. People need to realize that people that are elected on a local basis are the ones who have the closest hand to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the ones mm-hmm. who really can affect your lives.
That's right. Right. Yeah, so that's, see, that's what I'm saying. People need to understand that. There needs to be someone, like I said, like, for example, if there's a big convention going on down there, or y'all have your regular church services or something going on, they should have a brother like you to come in there. You know, because a lot of pastors, they just may as well admit it. They don't get into that. They don't study that. They study it a little, you know, they talk, they have their script. They talk about, you know, Jesus, you know, nailed to the cross. That's basically it. They need to have a person such as yourself or someone that will be a part of the ministry. You know, that could just do that, you know, and the same with the club owner. Club owner, if you don't know anything about this stuff, fine. You know, but powerful people get people who have area of expertise in various areas. So you get someone who could come in there and, you know, hey, you know, we're gonna give, as long as you give them their liquor back and the music back, they'll be okay. Give them about 5 minutes and let the club owner say, look, okay, everybody listen up. You know, we have an announcement to make. And you'll find out probably a lot of them want to hear it. You probably have somebody out there clapping. They'd be like, good, this is nice. But people have the power and will not do it. But they have somebody like you come in there and just give a few minutes. you know. But they don't know, man. They are confused. They are listening to all of the wrong messages from all of the wrong people. And the racist white people have access to all of the media, and they don't listen to black media. And some of the black media is run by Negroes. So, you know, we have to find ways to change things. And we have the power to change, but we will not acknowledge our power. And we keep doing the same thing over and over.
So here's the plan.
People lying all the way out. Some of these people, look, they have people lying all the way out of the building trying to get to the club, right? They could have somebody doing it while they're in line. Look, you know, my assignment is to make sure everybody out here, because I did a voter registration. I did very well. I did a voter registration one time when I just saw a line. I didn't know they were lined up for the club. But when I found out, that didn't matter. I said, wow, all them black folk in line. But I went out there with registration forms. And this is what needs to happen. These people stand out here in these lines waiting to get into a club, waiting to get into a concert, you know, something like that. People just standing in line, just waiting. There should be a strategic thing done by the people in power to say, why these people are in line? We're going to have somebody just come through and just ask them, are you ready to vote? You know, they're, you know, just something that will deal with the fact that they need to vote. And if they're waiting anyway, they might go ahead and say, oh, no, no, register. Where do I need to register? Hey, I got the forms right here. You can register right now, you know, while they're standing there. But we have to be creative. But we have to be willing to change. We have to break away from tradition. You know, people think because it has not been done, we're not supposed to do it. And that's not the case. And we have to do the same thing in church. People in church, you know, a certain time, boom. We want to introduce you all to Leon Gatewood. He agreed to be our community outreach minister who will come in and let us know what's going on in the community. So each Sunday or fourth Sunday or third Sunday or the second and the third Sunday, he's going to come in and give us about 5 minutes about what's going on in the community so that we can be abreast. He also has a registration table. When he comes, he brings a registration table with him. We already have Sister Susie, who's a part of our head of our voting ministry. And so, Sister Susie, you get with Leon, tell him how many voters you already have on the books. If you need to turn in any registration forms to him, let him tell you what you need to do with those forms. But that needs to go on all the time.
Curtis, I agree. But here's what we need to do going forward. We need to. We're working very closely with Black Voters Matter to get the word out on and recruit, get people registered to vote, and not only that, get people information on the issues. We need to sit and listen to what people want to listen to people, what is on people's minds. I think that has a lot to do with it. They don't really feel like anyone listening to them, and no matter how much you tell them you're listening to them, they're gonna still feel that way. But we have to keep trying. We have to keep trying.
Repetition, Leon.
Yeah.
Repetition is a way. It is a method of psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Repetition works. If you're repetitionally listening to, you know it, kill the nigga, kill this, B word, N word. If that repetition is there, then you normalize killing. You normalize the B word. You normalize the N word. If you normalize voting, normalizing respect, normalizing in a repetitious manner, the same can happen. But they don't hear it enough, you know, and that's the problem. And so we got to figure out ways to get it to these people, into their ears. We're dealing with this thing now. There's a big debate over just trying to make sure people get educated on the real history of what happened in America. That's become a big fight. Racists are mad because people want to teach black folk that racism, want to teach black and white children that racism exists. Racism created a lot of the problems that you were seeing. Now that's supposed to be a big issue. So I just want to say this real quickly, and then I'll be finished. The governor that just won in Virginia, he ran on three basic issues, and every issue that he ran on was a code word to racist. He ran on school choice. School choice is a racist code to making sure we have white schools that are private inside of either inside of public schools or our own schools, but we can have white schools that are funded by public education, by public funds. They want to have private schools that are funded by public education funds. That's what they want. When they say school choice, they want to be away from black folk in a way that they can have an exceptional quality form of school and education inside the public schools where only whites are there, or they have their own schools, but they still get the money of public funding that they don't have to pay for the private schools. A lot of times that's what school choice does. Now, there are some schools where, of course, charter schools that are, in fact, good for black people. But disproportionately, that money is used for white people to have private schools inside of public schools. That's normally what school choice does. They want to separate from black folks so they can have better schools away from black people. They don't want to have quality schools where black folk are going at the same time. They want their own schools at a different level, usually when they're talking about school choice. The next racist thing they ran on is, again, that thing about, I forgot the name they refer to it as, but it has to do with the way black folk are learning about their history, about black folk and about systemic racism. They don't want that in the schools. They don't want to talk about systemic racism. They don't want to talk about the true slavery and all these other forms of systemic racism have created so many disadvantages for black folk and so on and so forth. They want to talk about the school gap, but they don't want to talk about what created the gap. Then they have this thing where they are talking about quality police as it pertains to quality amenities. I'm trying to think of what it is. But anyway, it's to protect white police officers whenever they kill black folks. They don't have to worry about going to jail, going to prison, because they're going to make it so hard and so difficult. That's why it's hard to get universal standards for law enforcement, because quality immunity, it helps to make sure that police officers really don't have any clear standards. So when you take them to court, it's going to be very difficult to charge them with anything, because they're going to say, well, that police officer was just using his judgment. But if you have actual standards in place and you do away with that and treat them just like they're any other person who would take a gun and shoot someone who should not be killing someone, who's just using that force because they might be a racist or because they just see a black person they can kill and get away with. If they don't make sure they stand by the same standards, the same rules, then they can get away with it. Well, those are the things that this governor was running against. He was trying to make sure that there is no immunity, that they want to make sure that police officers can basically do what they want to do. And then the third thing he was running on, lower taxes. That's a code word for rich white men who can get tax breaks. Lower taxes does not mean anything to us. When they're talking about lower taxes, they're talking about eliminating things that will help black folks to move forward and giving tax breaks to the richest billionaires and millionaires so that they can keep making their wealth and keep making sure that they keep black folk and other poor people basically as a part of a new form of slavery. So the thing that the governor just ran on and won are really that he did not name one thing that would actually be beneficial to black folk.
Well, Curtis, what do you think would be an issue with getting black folk to go to the polls, man? What would make us go?
Yeah, well, like I said, it's going to probably take some consistency. Unfortunately, we've been miseducated. There's a generation of us that's been disconnected with the generation that went out there and were willing to die to be elected. I mean, or die to get votes. There's been a total disconnect. And I think, Leon, a lot of it has to do with the music and the media and the things that some of our younger people have gotten access to that we did not have access to. A lot of times our access basically came from people who were either in the church or if you went to a civil rights organization or a meeting or something like that. We had very limited access to media, very limited access to something that would come outside the home or outside the way in which we were brought up. Now there's just so many distractions. There's so many things now that can make a person think that it's okay to do the wrong thing. And so there's been such a major distraction until it's going to require us, like I said, using every form of a of a platform, whether it be, again, it really should come through the schools. It should come through everywhere there is a platform where people are coming together. It should be going on at dances, clubs. It should be going on at concerts. It should be going on at churches. There's going to have to be a consistent way. We have to find a way that can be consistent. It can't just be like, you know, a monthly meeting and then nobody comes. It has to be something that's already together that we can use. And it can, and it has to be a form of media that young people already have access to. Like, again, music. If we could have artists, DJs, certain message back into the music. But, Leon, we've just been distracted, man. We don't have access to our young people anymore. They're being pulled in so many ways. A parent has a hard time, especially those who have a couple of jobs now. Unlike when we were growing up, where you have a mom at home, your dad is out doing whatever he does. It's not like that anymore. So, unfortunately, white people are not sharing their media, their economics, and the power the way they should. So the so-called desegregation, because it's not integration, the desegregation thing has really worked against the people who do not have access to the power, because we don't have as much control of our communities. We don't have as much control of what our children are hearing. We don't have as much control over the message that they are receiving. So therefore, we are in this so-called integrated society, but we have less control, we have less power, we have less access, and it's really killing our people. So we as a people have to sit down, Leon, and stop acting like everything is okay and really address these issues that I'm telling you about, how we are not being, we are not consistently, repetitiously communicating a message that would be in the best interest of black people.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, not very much is okay in our community right now. We got young children killing each other, boys running by, shooting up houses, just crazy stuff, man. So we really have to get a grip. We need to get a grip, guys. Get a grip. You've been listening to the Brother For Real Radio Show, Mr. Gatewoods. Thank you, Gatewood Brothers. We appreciate you being here tonight. Joseph Gay, we got anything to say before we go, man? You may be gone already. You got anything before we proceed?
I'm still listening. Curtis made some good remarks. Had some good ideas and suggestions, and I think we figured out a way to implement it. And I think we'll be on the right track.
Yeah, man. Got a lot to do, man. Robert.
Amen. God bless you.
Robert, we're clocking out, man. You still there?
Hey, brother.
Yeah, man, we're clocking out. You good?
I'm good, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Hope you've enjoyed the show. But listen, folks, we got to get a grip. We must get a grip. Every vote matters. Every election matters. Especially the ones at your house. Especially the ones in your community. Yes, sir.
I just want to throw in a wrap-up note. I do understand that people get they're experiencing some election fatigue, and that can stymie turnout. And I think we have to work on the messaging, because when you tell people that every election is the election of the century, and they hear that people are talking about the Virginia election like Trump had won again, and so I think that. Sometimes when you just keep telling people the sky is falling, and all of these elections are important. Let's not minimize any election, whether it's a council seat, whether it's the presidency, whether it's the governor's race. But when you have to realize that when you tell people that something drastic and bad is going to happen, and then they go from one administration, whether it's the Obama administration, to the Trump administration, to the Biden administration, and their lives haven't really changed that much. Eventually, they stop believing it. So I think one of the issues we have to do is, like Curtis was saying, you have to get down to the grassroots, because the media's job is to get you hyped, to get you all That's how they sell ad space. And so you have to sometimes tune out some of the overhype. Focus on your school boards. Focus on your police captains. Focus on your wards. Focus on the things that's going to affect your day-to-day lives. And every now and then you have to tune out some of that noise, because it will cause you to start get fatigued, and it will hamper voter turnout. I think that should be part of the strategy as we go forward, and make sure that we're focusing on the things that affect people's lives and help people tune out some of the noise, because it's causing stress, it's causing discipline, it's causing nervousness. And it does, in my opinion, it does eventually affect voter turnout.
Yeah, Robin, here's what I like to tell people. Find that space around your community, that space where you can make a difference in your own community.
Mm-hmm.
Find that space.
That's right.
Concentrate on that space. Tune the noise out. You know exactly what that space needs. Give that space what it needs. Because we can't solve the problems of the world. It's not going to happen. So make sure people that you can help, the people that you can make a positive influence, are getting that time from you. That's what it's going to take, guys. We're going to have to fuck out of here, man. You guys good? We out, man. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother For Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. You can click on the link on Facebook right now and hear this show all over again. If you enjoyed it, please come back.
World, mama. People living like they ain't got no mama. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA.
Thank you, brother.
The Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only need space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get outraged. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Then you gotta have love to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us. Some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love?
Where is the love? The love?
It just ain't the same. Always you change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I can ask myself,
what is going wrong
in the world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividend. I'm respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason is the
brother.
The truth is kept secret.
Huh? I mean, how you stock doing?
Oh, man, it was rolling, man, the other day, man.
You should have some good returns here lately.
I know, man. I went crazy the other day, man. That, it was microchips.
Those semiconductor chips, man, they are on the road. They're on a ride. They're on a roll right now.
He went crazy. When Tesla goes up, they go up.
Yeah, you're right. Tesla's over $1,200 now.
Wow.
And Tesla has a competitor. They call it Nvidia. I think that's how you pronounce it. I bought that the other day, and it's already up. I bought it like yesterday. It's already made like $12 on it. And anytime it's going up, that's, to me, that's good. So, like I said, it doesn't have to be, I mean, that's money that we'll be sitting in the bank doing nothing. If it goes up $12 or $1,200, that's positive. You know what, Leonardo, I'll tell you a quick parallel between the stock market and what's happening in the electorate. It's like, if you sit there and stare at it all day, it's going to drive you crazy.
I'm crazy.
You just have to make your investment in time and money. I'm using the parallel between your activity in the in the community. Go out and get people to vote. Help them register. Hold your candidate's feet to the fire. And do what you do. And then you got to move on and get back to work. Same thing with the stock market. You can't sit there and stare at it. It's not going to make any difference. It does not matter how much you stare at it. It's not going to change if you haven't done anything.
That is not, man. It's Direxion stock. It's a semiconductor.
Right.
I didn't buy but 5 shares of it. I really hate that I didn't buy but 5 shares at this point. But right. The average cost of it is $29.54, and now it is $54.50.
How much you bought it for?
How do I know?
But you said it's gone up quite a bit.
Yeah, the average cost, you used to kind of go by that, I think.
Right.
$29.54. Today, it is $54.50.
You said it averaged with 29?
Yep.
Dang, boy. Now, that's a good stop. That's a good stop.
You
almost double your money on that one.
Yeah. I can try here and that was 5 shares.
Man, but you don't know. Like I said, the one I was telling you about earlier, I only bought one. If I had known, I'd have bought 5. You don't know, you don't know. All right, man, I'm going to get out of here, bro.
Hey, bro, good thing right there, man.
You good?
Yes, sir. We good.
All right, I'll lock it down.
Come on. Come on. Come on.